It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and as we have been studying about Paul in Ephesus, so today we're going to look at a letter he later wrote to those who were in Asia that was addressed among those to the Ephesians, the epistle called the Book of Ephesians, and it is a lesson called a World's Temperance Lesson. Now, this is written for the Sunday schools of November the 1st, 1925. And about once or twice a year, these uniform Sunday school lessons would have a lesson in them warning about the consumption of intoxicating beverages. You see, it's in this book of Ephesians where we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." Now, you'd think that would be clear, but it's not at all clear because people misread that passage. People think it means don't get drunk to excess. That's not what it says. There's two things to note about that. When it says be not drunk, it doesn't mean that you are fully intoxicated, you're stumbling around, that you're babbling or you're vomiting up after you've been drinking too much. That's not what it's talking about. The word be not drunk is actually a progressive word. It's don't engage in the process of becoming drunk. Now, when you pick up some kind of intoxicating beverage and begin to drink it, and you have the purpose of becoming intoxicated, then you're already violating that command, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, because you're engaging in that process. But also it doesn't say don't be drunk to excess. It says don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's alcoholic wine. The excess is in the wine. It's not in the drunk until he drinks it. And so be not drunk with the kind of wine that leads you to excess. Don't be engaging in that process. But this Sunday school lesson has to do with the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And you may want to get your Bibles and turn to that chapter now, because we'll be looking at that in just a moment. First, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read our lesson text, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in the opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The devotional reading is the 94th Psalm. And we will read there the first 8 verses. O Jehovah, thou God to whom vengeance belongeth, thou God to whom vengeance belongeth, shine forth. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render to the proud their desert. Jehovah, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Jehovah, and afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the sojourner, and murder the fatherless. And they say, Jehovah will not see, neither will the God of Jacob consider. Consider ye, brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? Now in the helps and hints for the teacher in this Sunday school lesson, E.A. Elam has a few things to say about temperance. Temperance is clearly taught and strongly throughout the entire Bible. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof, Galatians 5 and verse 24. We are also exhorted to put to death our members which are upon the earth, Colossians 3, 5 through 17. Self-controlled is the dividing line between the animal and the moral, the fleshly and the spiritual. Controlled by his flesh, man is a mere animal, even brutish. Peter speaks of some as born mere animals in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, Romans 8 and verse 6. Untold misery, unspeakable suffering, and unhappiness indescribable have come into the lives and homes through the use of strong drink. The Bible presents a very clear condemnation of strong drink and of the woes of the drunkard both here and hereafter. If one does not grow sweeter in temper, better in disposition, kinder, gentler, more merciful, more forbearing, more forgiving, more Christ-like and godly as he studies the Bible and grows older, he makes no progress in the Christian life. The grand consummation of Christ's suffering on the cross and the exceeding great and precious promise of the gospel is that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. During his first imprisonment at Rome, Paul wrote the Ephesian letter, Ephesians 1 and verse 4, and that was about A.D. 63. It will not take long to read it, and you should read the entire chapter. You will then have some conception of what it contains and why it was written. Paul thanks God abundantly for the salvation of the Gentiles with the Jews through the gospel, and shows that both are one in Christ, and exhorts them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He contrasts their lives as Christians with the lives of lust and passion before they became Christians. Now let's look at the explanatory notes, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 5 and continuing through verse 9 of chapter 6. Paul teaches and exhorts concerning family relationships and duties. In this present evil age, it appears that these duties are very much neglected and in many places wholly disregarded. Wives are taught to be in subject to their own husbands as unto the Lord. The reason for this command is, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But very few in the church even treat this relationship today with proper seriousness. But on the contrary, most people make a joke of it, not realizing, I fear, its great significance, reaching from the formation of Eve from Adam's open side to the church for whose cleansing and salvation Christ, the Lamb's bride, gave himself up. It is a fearful thing to trifle with the work and will of God. Husbands are commanded to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. For this reason, that having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word, he might sanctify and present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. Husbands should nourish and cherish their wives as their own flesh and bodies, because the two have become one flesh. This exhortation is concluded as follows: Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each his own wife, and let the wife see that she fear her husband. Continuing and in order, the apostle teaches the mutual duties of parents and children, servants and workers. Disobedience to these commandments of God has brought immeasurable misery and woe and have wrecked innumerable homes. Worse still, much of the teaching, or lack of correct teaching, of today lessen to an alarming extent these obligations and holy duties. One of the greatest works before the church today, one of its most solemn duties, is to rebuild Christian homes which have fallen down, and to restore the New Testament order of things in everyday duties of life. Without these, the profession of Christianity on the part of the church, and especially teachers and preachers, and talk about restoring New Testament order of work and worship and profession of Christianity, is mere pretense, a farce, and mockery. Now let's talk about the foes that the Christian faces. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, where Paul wrote, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Finally, the marginal reading in the American Standard Version says, Henceforth. In the previous chapter of his letter of Ephesians, Paul not only placed before them their holy calling, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 as Christians, but he also pointed out to them the kind of enemies they would have to meet, the craftiness, stratagem, and wiles of these enemies. Hence he exhorted them henceforth to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. The strength they would need to be such as could cope with their enemies was not physical, but spiritual strength, the strength of God's might. Since Christians are commanded to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, this is something they could cultivate and into which they must grow. This is done by putting on the whole armor of God. God does not clothe Christians with his strength and power without earnest effort on their part, and without making such efforts and doing just what he commands. The spiritual, our inner man, becomes strong by exercise. Having on the whole armor of God, Christians are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Mention is made of these in chapter 4, 14 and 15 as follows: That we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and craftiness by the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking truth in love, practicing truth, growing up in all things into Christ. This is the way to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Exhorting the Corinthians, Paul says, Watch ye, stand fast.